This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, glad to be with us. Hour number three coming up. Hey, we got a fun buy or sell coming up this hour. We'll do it about the Major League Baseball lockout. Also, Jared Diamond is going to join us, Wall Street Journal. I get an idea of where we actually stand with this. It's kind of the big story this morning because of the cancellation of the first two series on the schedule. Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's a big deal going from 162 to 156, but it's kind of a big deal because it looks like there's going to be more and more and more. And the longer this goes, the more it has to kind of be that way, and the owner's taking paychecks away. But if you are a football person, and I know many of you are, today is a big day as well because today is the start of the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. I always found the Combine to me is one of those events that really, if you want to showcase the American love affair of football, let's say it's an alien from outer space, or maybe somebody just completely oblivious to how popular football is in the United States, you could show them the Super Bowl, but they would generally go, well, it is the championship of the sport, so I expect a lot of people, you know, are interested in that. And you go, yeah. And then you can pick the draft. You can show how excited people are about the draft. You go, yeah, but, you know, that first round pick is, I can guess that that's an important road to some success, getting younger players in there and good ones so they could understand that. The Combine, if you said to somebody, oh, and by the way, we watch this. We watch running and jumping and weight bench pressing and all of that. We watch it as a football society. They would probably go, oh, okay, that is obsessive. It's fascinating to me because, again, the draft used to be just a business thing. Like, you just watch people doing business, and now it's an event. The Combine has become an event, too. It used to just be young college players. They would show up. They'd get measured in every facet of their body, and there would be all these measurements, how fast they could run, what they could lift. Everything, cone drills, all of that. And that was just the business of sport. But now it's become a television program, media descending on Indianapolis to cover these players that are going to be making an impact on NFL teams and may show up on that Thursday night in April on the red carpet to kick off the NFL Draft 2022. Buy or Sell is coming up next. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us.
Welcome back to Wake Up Call. Time now for Buy or Sell. Buy or Sell.
All right, Buy or Sell, where Ron gives us a topic, and then we buy or sell that topic based on its plausibility. All right, are we ready?
Almost. My email decided to shut down real quick, so
give it a second here.
Well, okay.
Always does this. Right when we need to start.
Right.
It just goes, you know what? I have other ideas. All right, we're back up.
Right. Okay, buy or sell time.
So these are things that'll happen before Major League Baseball and the Players Association reach an agreement.
Right.
Okay, you ready?
All right.
Aaron Rodgers will re-sign with the Packers.
Before we get an agreement. Well, free agency starts March 16th. A signing might be delayed. I'm processing this. Actual signing a document?
Yes.
This is a good one because free agency starts March 16th. The Packers really, really, really want a decision by the 16th, but that doesn't mean he'll sign. I mean, he'll agree. I'm going to buy that.
Okay.
I think a deal can get done after once free agency kicks in. I think they're not going to get an agreement done until sometime after April. I mean, after March. I don't think it's coming at all in March.
Yeah.
So
I
think Rodgers will sign an extension sometime in March. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Okay. How about this one? How about Kyler Murray and the Cardinals will reach an agreement on a contract extension?
Oh,
he's so coveted.
I think baseball will be back by that time. I honestly think the Cardinals are like, no, you're doing another year under this rookie deal. We are not. We'll talk, but no. Yeah. I'll go with sell on that one.
about Kyrie Irving will be able to play a home game.
Ooh, that's a good one. Aren't they relaxing the situation?
They're relaxing the rules.
Right.
At March 7th. But there's still like some weird stipulation that could prohibit Kyrie Irving from allowing to play home games.
Okay.
Like it's a private entity, a private venue type of thing. I don't really know. I'm trying to figure out the details on it, but there's still like a weird stipulation. Even though, you know, New York City, like, you know, public schools, you don't have to wear a mask, I think, starting March 7th or in hospitals or, you know, stuff of that nature where it looks normal. There's still another clause in there that could prohibit him from being able to play home games.
Okay, I'm gonna buy it because I think they're going to work that out. I think they'll work that out. So I think he'll play a home game before Major League Baseball reaches an agreement. It's a lot of trust that there'll be a lot of moving parts that will go in Kyrie's favor, but I think it will, and I think Kyrie will play a home game before Major League Baseball comes to its senses.
All right, how about this one? Republicans and Democrats will come together to pass bipartisan deals.
Oh, well, baseball better get that because hell's freezing over.
Well, yeah. Let's think about this, though. They are united.
What are they united on?
They're united on one subject, and that is with what's going on over
Ukraine?
Between Ukraine and Russia.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I thought you meant like taxes or something like
No, no, no. Infrastructure, that type of stuff, the stuff you was talking about yesterday, that'll never happen.
No. That's done.
I'm gonna go back to your hell freezes over statement.
I still don't believe in the political landscape being, you know, I think something will derail it. So I think baseball will come to an agreement before that happens.
All right. Well, I got a fun one for you here. How about Joe Exotic and Carole Baskin will bury the hatchet?
Oh, I got to think that'll never happen. So I think because
I brought that up, the only reason why that popped in my mind was because there is a new movie coming out.
It is. Who's in it?
I don't know.
Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon is Carole Baskin. Carol. I don't know who
plays
Joe Exotic.
Joe. Yeah.
Do you have any interest in it anymore?
No, because I think you need Hollywood. Whoever's putting this together, you get a moment in the sun and then it disappears with reality people, right? You can watch Avenger movies for decades, but in reality, folks tend to disappear. They get a moment and then they kind of leave us, right? I think they missed the mark on this one. I think it's too long. I think people really enjoyed it during the pandemic, but that's about it. Like, that's enough of their story.
Real quick, it's literally called Joe versus Carol.
Oh, okay.
John Cameron Mitchell.
Is playing Joe?
Is playing Joe Exotic.
Well, they didn't go with any... I mean, is he famous? I mean, I don't want to say...
I haven't really seen any of the movies he's ever been in.
All right. no, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to see it.
Nah, I don't
know. I kind of saw it. I mean, we saw
the... You know, I mean, it was the... that documentary had the perfect storm happening for him.
Right.
You know, which was, we're all stuck... And there's nothing we can do. We can't go out, so we have nothing but Netflix or streaming service. And, I mean, really, it was the rise of streaming services during that time, too.
Right, sure.
And, you know, everyone was talking about it. It just became this thing. I don't even know how it became a thing. It just, everyone was talking about it, and we all decided, like, you know what, let's unify. We're all in this together.
Yeah, anybody tells me when they talk about series, like, on Netflix, and they go, oh, well, no, it was popular before the pandemic. I'm like, stop. The pandemic made everything popular. Like what? Like all you
made streaming services popular.
Twitter. Yeah, exactly. That's how it became popular because people were buzzing about it all over the place, and everybody watched it. You know, it was like, yeah, well, all right, I'll watch. I got nothing else to do. I can't go anywhere, right? I might as well sit here and binge watch six episodes of this thing or whatever it was, eight or nine. Yeah, of course. So,
all right, how about this one for you?
Okay,
LeBron James and Russell Westbrook. We'll find that harmony the Lakers need for a deep playoff run.
No, baseball's coming back before that one. Somebody was talking about possibly the Lakers trading LeBron. Is that nonsense? Is that clickbait? That can't possibly
be true. That has to be clickbait.
They said Shaq had to answer it. He said, if you trade LeBron, you'll never win again.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, Shaq. Is it really prevalent enough to answer it?
I don't know if it's never win again, but you're not winning anytime soon.
Yeah. It's like when somebody tells me, they goes, those flat earth people are crazy. I go, do you know one of them? Do you know anybody who believes in the flat earth?
I know, Kyrie. But like, I even think he's came back and said, no, it's
like, wrong. Do you really think that's a majority of the population enough to make a stand on it on Twitter?
Right.
Like, it's like maybe six people.
I'm going to die on this hill defeating them.
Right? Yeah, exactly. They're like, flat earth people are outrageous and need to be stopped before they infiltrate our children. It's like, there's like four of them. Like, what are you talking about? It's the same thing here with, like, people are like, Shaq's like, yeah, don't trade LeBron. Like, is anybody talking about it other than, like, maybe one or two people on social media that want to get a click? Like, I don't think it's the prevailing thought that they're going to trade LeBron James.
And here's the truth, right? I mean, LeBron is past his age. He's not as effective as he once was, and we can all see that. But the Lakers, for me, I think they're heading into that period post-Showtime.
Right.
Where they were relevant because of the name on the front, but they really didn't do anything.
Right.
You know, you had Cedric Ceballos and Nick Van Exel as your stars. You weren't really going anywhere. Right. And then the Shaq Kobe era entered, and Phil Jackson era entered. I think, you know, it's just going to take time, but the Lakers are that franchise that, yeah, they'll be relevant again. They're not going to go away forever.
Yeah, I agree completely.
All right, how about The Rock and Vin Diesel will patch things up?
Ooh. Well, give me a background on that. Is that bad?
Well,
they don't like each other.
They have disagreements. They don't like each other, but they still do these movies together. I'm not sure where it actually stems from. I just know that it might be a clash of two type A personalities.
Yeah. Is it a deep, like, he stole my wife type of feud?
Nah,
like,
I don't. It has nothing to do with that. Vin Diesel, whether you know, believe it or not, man, he's like just a quiet family man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who has a twin brother with hair. It's weird.
Right. Oh, okay. Since I don't know much about it, I'm going to say that they'll patch it up before baseball gets back on the field.
All right. How about Philadelphia will welcome Ben Simmons with a rousing ovation.
Oh, that's never happening. So I think that baseball eventually will come back. Boy, oh boy. I can't wait to see Ben Simmons' first game in Philadelphia.
I know. That's going to be exciting.
He might pull a hamstring, quote unquote.
Probably a better one. Right? Ben Simmons will pull a hamstring in his return trip before spring training happens.
He'll be like, Coach Nash. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I can't walk.
Right? All right, and finally,
fake paralysis.
Finally, this thing will happen before Major League Baseball gets back to work. Vegemite will become a diet plan.
Vegemite, the Australian butter vegetable thing they put on crackers.
Is it considered butter?
It's considered what they put on toast.
Okay.
I think baseball will come back to work. Vegemite's disgusting.
Come on, baseball. Don't let Vegemite win. No.
Okay, I have. So real quick, when I was in Colorado Springs, we talked about Vegemite, and I talked about how we just stumbled on Vegemite. This is probably the only, I'll give you this. This is probably the only reason radio people ever talk about Vegemite is when they talk about the Men at Work song.
Yes.
Down Under, when they think the lyrics are bite of my sandwich, when the lyrics are Vegemite sandwich. And it's one of those things where you go, well, what's Vegemite? And we did that bit on my show in Colorado Springs. And I had a listener who was in the Army, and he married an Australian woman and has gone to Australia a number of times. He had his family ship in Vegemite so we could taste it on the air. And it was terrible. It's a vegetable like butter spread. Like you put it on toast, crackers, it's sandwich, you know,
okay,
whatever.
Yeah.
Like it's a spread. It's like peanut butter, but it's made out of vegetables. It's like a vegetable. It's not even a jelly. It's not really even a jelly.
Is it kind of it's kind of like a vegetable Nutella?
Yeah. It's kind of like that. So we had a toaster in the break room that we weren't allowed to bring into the studio. We didn't know that until after the fact that we weren't allowed to bring the toaster into the studio, but we brought it into the studio anyway, and we're making toast and smearing Vegemite all over it. And the engineer lost his mind. when he found out we brought the toaster into the studio to make Vegemite toast on the air. But it was fun. It was fun and it was gross. Yeah, Vegemite.
Vegemite.
I don't think that's ever going to catch on.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
It's not ever going to be up there.
But neither
like
is
kale.
Major League Baseball at this point.
See? You don't know.
You don't know.
You don't know.
Exactly.
That could be the new diet trend of May or April.
All right, that is buy or sell. Coming up, we'll let's have some fun with some of the dumbest Wheel of Fortune guesses. We'll also get Jared Diamond on at 40 past the hour to talk about exactly where we stand with all of this as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, so this is an appropriate music for this next segment because everybody's going crazy over this Wheel of Fortune situation. Was this last night or was this something that happened a while ago that's now just catching away?
No, I think this was last night.
Okay, this was last night. It had to have been because it was everywhere this morning.
I've been seeing it on all the different morning shows.
Man,
I mean, everyone's talking about it.
This is one of those episodes. Like when I see the tape, I really wish I watched it live because I think my reaction to seeing it live would have been so different rather than somebody saying, this is the dumbest 2 minutes in Wheel of Fortune history.
Yeah.
Because when I watch it, I go, oh, how could it be terrible? And I'm anticipating the bad. But if I was sitting in my easy chair just watching Wheel of Fortune like I would do every single night, then I might actually go bananas if this is the case. So let's just play it. Set it up.
I did shorten it a little bit.
Okay.
Because basically what I took out was the wheel spinning.
Okay, so we have to set this up. So this is late in a puzzle.
Yeah.
Just say what the answer is and then so that people can listen to how they botched this? So the answer to the puzzle is a feather in your cap.
And I think the F and the C and the P were still missing.
Very, like, almost the entire puzzle is filled out.
And if you know the phrase, you know that you can
solve
it. You
know the answer. Like, without you knowing anything about how they got there, you just could see the puzzle and go, that's a feather in your cap. That's the way it is.
And let's be honest. So let's be fair, though, because I still don't know all the contestants' names. There's one guy we know who knows it.
Right. There is one guy who knows. Yeah. One
and
guy
he
knows
is not
this.
Dumb. He just has the worst luck.
There
ever.
Are two people who are not the brightest bulbs, but there's one guy that can't even overcome that. So here it is.
A fall.
Okay.
Another feather in your hat.
Christopher.
Never heard that.
G. No G. Thomas. The banker found you. Lori, have another shot at it. You can spin the wheel and try to solve the puzzle.
I'll solve.
Okay.
Another feather in your lap.
Stop the tape. Stop the tape.
Oh, the feather is moving around. Okay. Christopher. 900. D. No. Thomas. Thomas, I think the wheel got... Laura, you have another opportunity here. You can spin the wheel. You can try to solve the puzzle. What do you want to do? Go ahead and spin if you don't know.
I'm going to go ahead and spin.
Yeah, don't get buzzed out here on top. Well, what letter would you like?
A P?
Yes, there's a P. Spin or solve?
I will solve.
Okay.
Another feather in your map.
Christopher, it's your turn. Oh, my goodness. The bankrupt got you. Thomas, you have no money. I don't know. You want to spin?
I'll spin.
So what letter would you like?
A C.
Is there a C up there anywhere? There you go. You want to solve this?
Yeah, I'll solve. Another feather in your cap.
Yeah, there you go.
And there you have it.
Good on Thomas.
Good on Thomas. Now, Thomas was the guy that got lose a turn and bankrupt on spins where he knew the answer. And luckily for him, he was playing with two people who had no clue another feather in your cap was an actual saying. That woman is going to regret this when she gets home. she is gonna be like, this is what, like...
She can't go to work.
They film these... Yeah, I know. They film these in advance, so... she knew what this outcome was. And I'm sure when her family was like, let's have a party to your air. She's like, no, actually, no, let's not do that. Cause boy, oh boy, look out. And she missed it on three guesses.
Yeah.
Three guesses.
She guessed what? So she did.
She said, another feather in your hat, another feather in your lap, and another feather in your cap.
A map.
She missed it three times.
And then it came back around to her, so she did guess the P.
Right.
She was like, P?
P? Maybe?
Yeah.
It's a long shot, but I'll go P? Meanwhile, Thomas is like, no, P is... You're getting there. Don't hurt yourself.
And then the other guy.
You're fine.
The other guy had no clues.
Right.
Yeah, he's just like, D. How about a G?
How about an X? Is there an X in there? How about that sign that Prince was for a couple of years? Does that exist in this puzzle? I have no idea. What is that? Is there an asterisk? Can I get an asterisk? How about a comma sign? Is there a comma sign? I have no idea. What's that three-letter word? It's got a P. AP. What could it possibly be?
It's another feather in your A. Meaning, yeah. You know, the blank squares are quotations.
Right. It must be. What is that? God, these people. Is it the panic of the moment, or is it they really have never heard of that phrase?
Maybe it's gone. I don't know. I mean, they were a little on the young. Well, I mean, all three of them were kind of young.
Yeah.
But they look like they could be. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's... I should ask my. Do we have any like? Well, you know, ask some 20-year-old and say, have you ever heard of feather in your cap?
Right, exactly.
Is that a popular phrase for you?
Feather in. What does that mean? Feather in your cap. What does that mean? I don't know. Why would you say that? Well, it's an expression.
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought you were talking like an actual feather.
Right. God.
Or when people like, you know, feather in your cap. Hey, that's kind of racist.
Oh my God.
Why you can't say that about Native Americans?
I kind of think that if I got on one of these game shows, I might freeze at the moment. So I'm picking on them knowing I will never have that problem.
Yeah, but no.
You don't think so?
No, because you would look at that puzzle, and you would sit there and go, you would never go up there and go, oh, I have no idea. How about a feather in your lap?
Right. I would never. Yeah, right. No,
you would never say that. I mean, I'll give her the credit of a feather in your hat.
Okay, I get that.
I'll give her that because, you know, you went for it. Maybe you thought it was hat, not cap. Maybe you heard it as hat, not cap. People say those phrases wrong all the time.
But it's like feather in your map. Have you ever heard anybody say that ever?
No.
Ugh.
And I put it more on the other guy who just, I mean, everything is there. It's just literally that last word, and there's a A, and he's just going, D, G, I have no clue.
I was feeling bad for Thomas on those spins because he was like, oh, my God. All right. Thank God I got the wheel. Oh, bankrupt. You got to be kidding me. And then he's probably thinking, there's no way it's coming back to me. These two people are somewhat intelligent, right? Oh, no, that's right back to me again. Spin, lose a turn. Oh, you got to be kidding. There's no way this is getting back to me again, right? Nope, it is.
I wonder if there was
outtakes. And you get a chance to answer the puzzle. He must have been like, you've got to be kidding me.
I'm more really curious. I would love to know if there were outtakes because, like you said, you spun bankrupt the first time. All right, you know, that happened. You spin losing the turn the second time and everyone keeps botching it.
Right.
I'm dropping words.
By the time it comes back around again for you to solve the puzzle, you got to be like, you got to be kidding me.
Blanking me.
You people have got, look at both of them. Like, come on now. Come on now. Good old Wheel of Fortune, man. Good. God,
I feel like we're getting more of these each day, though.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. It's like, yeah, we're, you know
either
you get on
that
these game
or with Jeopardy. You know, we're finding these weird ones, like where the answer is obvious, and not just I watch sports type obvious.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wide range that everyone should know these things, and you don't.
Jared Diamond will join us next. We'll talk about the baseball lockout. And is it going to end anytime soon? Exactly where are we? I'm very pessimistic. Maybe he's not. We'll talk to him next on Wake Up Call.
Wake-Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Jared Timon joins us from the Wall Street Journal. We'll talk Major League Baseball and the lockout and yesterday's announcement that the first two series for the teams have been canceled, and now it's going to be 156 games. Opening day is not going to be opening day. How are you, Jared?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
Yeah, this news, I know they had to do it, but what do you think will be the ramifications of this? Is this something now that moves the negotiations along faster, or is it just part of the business of what we're doing right now?
No, this is the opposite. This makes the negotiation much, much worse. It probably slows it down even more, because suddenly we just added, the players in league just added a couple of huge issues to the table that weren't on the table yesterday. Now the players are going to, in addition to everything else they're arguing over, going to fight over their back pay from this game, their service time from this game. That's going to add another really complicated wrinkle to what has been an already very complicated negotiation. And it's clear that everybody right now is entrenched. There is no reason to believe that this is going to be quick, that these two series that are canceled are all that's going to be canceled. Now that games are actually going to be missed, I really do think everyone needs to buckle up for a long, extended dispute. There is no reason to believe it is going to be short.
Was this the prevailing feeling at the initial lockout before the holidays, when we first did the, I know I said, and I'm naive to this kind of stuff, I thought, well, when push comes to shove, by the time they, when after the holidays rolls around, we really start figuring out that pitchers and catchers need to report, they'll get it done. Or was it a feeling like, no, don't miss, this is a long, deep entrenched thing here?
I think the people involved, especially the players, they saw this coming. I think they knew that it was going to be very challenging. I don't think that many other people did, because I think most people, myself included, I readily admit, thought exactly what you thought, which is they're not going to take this all the way to the end. Cooler heads will prevail. Eventually, they're going to realize that missing games is bad for everybody, and they're going to figure it out. But we saw this week that that just isn't going to be possible, that they're doesn't seem to be motivation from the owners to come anywhere close to sort of seeing the players where they want to be seen. And the players are as unified as they've ever been, that they are not going to take a deal that they think is bad. They've taken bad deals in the past. The reason we are here right now is because the union signed CBAs, probably the last two, if not the last three, that turned out not to serve in their interest. They preserved labor peace, but set us on a path to where suddenly the players are trying to fight back for things that perhaps they gave up in previous agreements. And now they're dug in that they are not going to sacrifice anything for the sake of labor peace. And that's sort of why we are where we are.
Give me an idea in the best way you can in the the players are saying that owners aren't competitive. They're just not competitive. Did they believe that the luxury tax, that there would just be enough teams to go, screw it, I'll pay the luxury tax. I want to pay these guys. I want to get them on my team. Did they not see that could be used as basically a de facto cap without calling it a cap?
It's a great question why the players agreed to the most recent luxury tax penalties, the one from the 2016 CBA. It's not as if the luxury tax has been this thing that many, many teams have blown through in the past. In fact, I think since it started, it came in the 2002 CBA, the current version of the luxury tax. I think only eight teams have ever gone over it. Maybe it's nine. You have a team like the Yankees who've gone over it many, many times, but fewer than a third of teams in the league have ever even gone over the luxury tax. But what changed with the 2016 version of the CBT is that it installed very severe penalties for repeat offenders, teams that went over it multiple years in a row. And suddenly what you saw were even the wealthiest teams, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, were making sure not to go over it more than 2 years in a row. And this past year, there were, I believe, five teams that came within $4 million of the first CBT threshold. You have to work pretty hard to make sure that your payroll comes in that close to the threshold without going over it. So they miscalculated how owners were going to use this version of the CBT. They miscalculated how severe these penalties were going to be. And that's why they're fighting to sort of roll that back and get those thresholds back up. No one argues that many teams are never going to reach that number. Cleveland, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, they're never making it to the luxury tax. But the union wants to make sure that there's no disincentive for the teams that do go over it to keep going over it year after year, which the Yankees, by the way, once did, going over it, you know, many, many years in a row in the earlier part of this century.
Jared, and we're talking to Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal. Where do these owners get their money? We were talking about this earlier. Even pre-pandemic, I'd watch highlights on a Wednesday night, and I'd see empty seats in a lot of stadiums. But there's a lot of revenue here. Where are they getting most of that?
Not from ticket sales and people going to the games, which is a common misconception
right.
among fans that think that they get their money from the gate. They don't. In fact, we're in this world now where owners, they won't ever say this, but they really don't care if you go to the game or not, unless you're buying one of those really expensive suites. They honestly do not care if you go to the game, buy a $20 ticket to sit in the upper deck. They make their money in so many other ways. The media rights fees are the biggest way. We know these contracts with Disney, with Turner, with Fox are worth billions that get divided up among the owners, whether or not they're in the playoffs, whether or not people go to their games. Plus, the real estate ventures around the ballpark. So many of these owners now see their stadiums essentially as sort of a real estate proposition, ballpark villages around the stadiums, hotels around the stadium, other events at the ballpark. You know, at the end of the day, the average fan going to the game is so much less of a factor to the owners, which is why, especially now with these April games that might be missed, many of them are probably just shrugging their shoulders and going, all right, no one goes to the games in April. They're expensive. What's really the point anyway of even having them? And anyway, we're getting our money from all these national TV partners no matter what happens, as long as we have a postseason. So it's pretty bleak, and the situation economically has changed from how we imagined it, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
This is a lockout, not a strike, but so that therefore it was the owners that initiated this. But to people who contact you, who reach out to you via social media, email, whatnot, do you feel that there is an overwhelming side that is to blame here? Do fans blame owners that they never see, or do they blame the players who they know?
It's hard to say. If you go on Twitter and you go on social media, you're going to see this overwhelmingly pro-player sentiment. And that's not a surprise, right? We're in a moment in this country where there's a very sort of clear pro-labor movement that has come out of the pandemic. Players now are much more able, because of social media and other means, to dispel the notion of the billionaires versus millionaires trope and really get their message out there. So there's definitely, at least on Twitter and other social media platforms, this very obvious pro-player approach. But I don't know really if that reflects everybody, right? Most baseball fans aren't on Twitter. They're just loud, and we hear from the ones on Twitter. But I think of sort of the average baseball fan who's probably not paying attention too much to the specifics of this. And my vibe is that if you ask most people, not people on Twitter, but just most people that might turn on their local baseball team on TV on a Tuesday night, their attitude is like, I really don't care who's at fault. I just want to know when I get to go to the games. And frankly, I don't really blame them, because these issues are complicated
right. And
they're kind of boring if you're not involved. Like, if you're just a random fan, why should you care about luxury taxes or pre-arbitration bonus pools? Just saying those words sort of make my eyes glaze over. And I work sort of around this industry, so I don't really have a problem with fans who are just like, I don't really care who's at fault. Just get it done so I could watch the sport I love again.
From the standpoint of in the trenches, The owners are billionaires, but can they afford a year off? Can the players afford a year off?
The owners could definitely afford a year off more than the players can, one would think. We will see. Like, if the players really want change, and, you know, this is mostly just informed speculation, but if the players really want change, my feeling is they are going to have to be willing to take this far, really far, half the season, the whole season. And the reason I say that is that if the players think, and I'm not saying they think this, but if they do, that they're going to sit out April, they're going to miss a month of games, they're going to miss 6 weeks of games, and the owners are then going to come back to them with a better offer, I think they're wrong. The owners are not going to come back to the players with a better offer over a month worth of games or 6 weeks of games. The only way I see the owners really coming back to the players with a significantly better offer is that the players hold out for a long time and really embarrass Rob Manfred and the owners for not coming back to the table. We'll see if they have the stomach to do that. It seems like they do. They say they are ready to take this as long as they need to, but that's harder to do when, you know, we're in May, we're in June, and guys aren't getting paid, especially the younger players who don't have millions and millions in their bank accounts already. It's going to be very, very interesting, and I really do believe that is what it's going to take if they're going to get the change they want. It's not going to happen because they, you know, they sat out 3-4 weeks of games and suddenly they think, all right, we've said what we had to say. Let's go make a deal.
All right, final question, and I think this is probably the bigger one too: the overall health of the sport. If we lose a season, three quarters of a season, if somehow this is really bad and we lose a season in the World Series, do they survive this in the short term?
In 1994, when you lost the World Series, attendances did not return to the previous levels until 2006, 12 years. And that was despite the fact that right after the strike of 94, you had Cal Ripken. 3 years after that, you had McGuire and you had Sosa. Plus, you just had the basic fact that baseball was much more popular in 1994 than it is in 2022. So there is good reason to believe that if there's a real extended, protracted dispute here, it is going to be even harder for baseball to return to the levels it was before this lockout. Attendances were already going down. TV ratings were already going down. There are many, 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 many more places to spend your entertainment time and dollars than on Major League Baseball than there was 27 years ago, 26 years ago, whatever it was. So I hope that the people involved recognize this, but there's definitely a perception, there's definitely a vibe that comes from the owner side, especially during this, that they believe, rightly or wrongly, that there is nothing that could happen that would make people not come back to baseball. And maybe they're right. Who knows? We will find out. But it strikes me as pretty, let's say, confident that if you're going to believe that nothing that happens here is ultimately going to affect how many people care about your product. I think the owners believe that. I'm not so sure everyone else does.
Fantastic stuff, Jared. We really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you a lot. Hope to catch up with you soon.
For sure. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Jared Diamond, Wall Street Journal. On a very, very, that was pretty ominous, I'll be honest with you. If you're a baseball fan, Jared Diamond, quote, buy and save on our home insurance with Progressive New Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Some thoughts on that when we come back on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks to Jared Diamond, Wall Street Journal, for joining us. Wow, that was one of the better interviews from information that we've done in a while. He was great. He really laid it out. This is bad. This is bad. These two series that have been lost now puts a whole new angle to the negotiations going forward.
Yeah.
Right, these players are going to want those six games.
I don't even think they're
capacity.
Negotiating today, are they?
No.
Like, they're taking a break today?
They're taking a break. But when they come back, the players are going to say two things, as Jared pointed out. Two things. They're going to want those six games back, and at least get paid for them. We're either extending the season or throwing doubleheaders. I don't care, but we're getting 162 games. It's not going to be a prorated salary. And the second thing they're going to say is service time. This counts, right? And the owners are going to go, no, you have to be on the roster for 175 days of the year to have it count. You're not going to be. So, no, no, it isn't. Now we're back to adding two things to this where they can't even figure out the others. Now you had two things that they're not going to move on.
And they can't figure out easy ones.
Right.
You know, you and I said, I mean, just, you know, universal DH.
I'm telling you right now.
I mean, that one seems easy.
Jared's right. When you talk about bonus pool, nobody cares, right?
I don't even know what it means.
But the reality of it is, and I'll keep saying this until they prove me wrong, okay? And if they prove me wrong, I'll admit I was wrong. But I'm telling you right now, these owners don't want to get back on that baseball field. They don't care if it's 6 months, 3 months, 5 months. They are going to make sure that the negotiation that they get out of these players, they're going to force their players into panic mode, but they want an operating system that benefits them for the next 20 years. And they will sacrifice this year to do it. They may go, screw it. Like Jared said, they don't even care if you come to the game. And by the way, when it comes to media rights, we know this about sports. It's the only thing that's really DVR-proof in this world, right? The owners are like, we're making money off media rights. We're making money off of endorsements. We don't care if people go to the game. All of the stuff around the ballpark is attractive. You know what? If we have to sacrifice a year to get a better operating cost for the next 19, that's what we'll do. And they'll do it. They'll do it. We'll see you tomorrow. Again, it's Sports Map Radio. Tony D, Ron Culver, Wake Up Call.